Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We are always encouraged to know that God is touching lives all around the world through what He is doing right here in New Albany, Indiana. If you have a story about what God is doing in your life, please send an email to amen@hillsidechurch.us. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online or through text so we can continue to bring messages just like this one to you each week. Find out more by visiting hillsidechurch.us.
Our heartbeat as a church is to reach people with the good news of Jesus and to come alongside them and equip them to build their lives upon His Word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you were to cut us open, we bleed hope and encouragement. These next few minutes together, I promise you're going to leave with more hope, more encouragement, and my desire, our prayer is that you'd leave full of faith. We believe God loves you and He is for you. And I believe even now with the current crisis that we're in, there's a blessing in the midst of this battle. I know that God is moving things and arranging things on your behalf. And so can I just say that to you today? God is for you. He will not fail. He will not let you stumble. You will not fall, but God is going to lead you through this season. Today our message is entitled, Consider the Source. I want to say that again. The message today is entitled, Consider the Source. It's a bit of a famous phrase around my home. Every once in a while, I'll come home with a new piece of information. I'll come home having learned something. And my wife, maybe we're fixing dinner together, we're just chatting, catching up on the day, and I'll share a little bit of information with her. I'll share a little story with her. Maybe, I don't know about you, maybe a little bit of gossip. Not that here at Hillside we have any of that, but I'll share a little something, and then Kelly will respond and say, "Who told you that? Where'd you hear that?" And she'll say this, she'll say, "Paul, consider the source. Consider the source." Can I remind you, for those of you that are followers of Jesus, right now we're absorbed with what's happening in our culture, with what's happening, whether it's headline news, whether it's our social media feed, whether it's the stocks app on your phone. There's a lot of news forecasts available at the touch of a button. We live in an information age. But I want to nudge you with the few moments I have today. I want to invite you to consider the source. Because if God didn't say it, you don't need to trust it. I want to encourage you again. If God didn't say it, you don't need to trust it. In fact, I was talking with my wife. We know people are going through the fire. Their circumstances are overwhelming. And if we're quite honest, before the coronavirus, some of our friends and family were walking through the fire in difficult situations. But one of the things we like to say around our house is, the last time we checked, God's word remains the same. The last time I read Hebrews and saw the statement, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I was reminded that God has not shifted His position on the throne. And if He hasn't shifted His position, we don't need to shift His position over our hearts. That phrase, consider the source, I remember I was talking with my dad. Now, this is going on several years ago, the last election cycle, in fact, and we were watching the news, we were talking on the phone, and we would throughout our day periodically update ourselves because, as you could recall, there were a lot of news, there were a lot of rumors, there was a lot of information going around. And I distinctly remember one time calling my dad and being like, "Dad, did you hear this juicy piece of information. I can't believe. And then I went on one of my rants for about 5 to 10 minutes. And he calmly on the other end of the phone, I could hear him just breathing lightly. And he said, "Well, Paul, where did you read that?" And I shared the journalist and the publication. And then he lightly chuckled to himself. And he said, "Paul, you need to consider the source. You need to go back and read the accuracy of that." Friday evening, I don't know if you're like me, you've been watching the updates given from our president as well as the local news, some of the local governors. Well, I happened to be watching Friday evening the press conference, the press briefing, and the president shared, and then he opened himself up for some questions, which you know as well as I do, that's a lot of times the best part of the press briefing. And one particular journalist shared a publication's front line. They shared the headline news of this publication, and this journalist looked at the president and said, "Some White House insiders have this information. Do you know anything on that?" And you know our president, he's made a phrase very familiar. He looked at the journalist and looked at the TV and said, "No, that's a rumor." He goes, "That's fake news. Fake news." Can I tell you, no matter where you stand on the ideology of fake news or not, let me tell you, your heart has to cross a filter. Or excuse me, when words come to your heart, they need to cross a filter where you filter out the truth of God's word, his promises, the reality that God has called for us to live in, the hope that he says we can have, the joy that he says we can have, the peace that he says we can have, the healing he declares we can have. That's not fake news, that's God's truth. It's his word over our life. But can I tell you, if you're anything like me, it can be tempting to believe fake news, to put all of a sudden the stocks app a little higher priority than it needs to be, to put all of a sudden your favorite news outlet and all the information they give and all the speculation they give. It's subtle. But here's what can happen. It can begin to take a precedence over our heart. We can find ourselves becoming more anxious, more fearful, more discouraged. Can I also tell you, more distracted? The enemy's tactic over your life has never changed. I like to remind our people in person of this often, and it's out of John 10:10. And his tactic is simple: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And can I tell you, in moments of crisis, he loves to run rampant, as 1 Peter would say, like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. What's he trying to devour? He's trying to devour your soul, the peace you can know through Christ, the hope you can know by declaring and living on the promises of God. And can I tell you, it starts off subtly. But I want to encourage you, consider the source in and over your life. Who are you listening to? Who are you leaning into in this season? God's word will not fail you. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to spend a few moments looking at some words of Jesus, but as you're turning there, today we kick off. This is the beginning of a new series called Heroic Faith. And this is a time, this is a season, I want to encourage you, don't waste your pain. Don't waste this difficulty. Don't waste what may appear as a desert season, because I promise you that if you will let God have his work deep inside of you, your faith will go higher and higher and higher. You see, our faith is tested in seasons like this. It's actually good for your soul. James 1 writes a verse that seems kind of ironic, but he encourages us, consider it pure joy when you face trials and temptations of many kinds, because that develops perseverance. And some of us, God is strengthening our inner being to be people that can persevere. perseverance in our faith. God develops it in these testing seasons. And so when we're navigating life under these present pressures and circumstances, we have to consider the source in our lives to guard our hearts. One of the threads throughout Scripture of our heroes of the faith, they always considered the source, the starting place, the author of their faith, as Hebrews nudged a church that was under tremendous persecution. The author of Hebrews came alongside and he said, hey, do this. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. When we look at the lives, I don't know about your heroes of the faith or your heroes in Scripture, but I think of some of them. I'll list a few that you may be familiar with. But if you begin to recall and to recount their story and the circumstances they did and their families had a journey through, can I tell you one thing they got right? Time and time again, they shut out the voice of the enemy. They shut out the fake news of their circumstances, and they leaned into the truth of who God is. And they found it as an anchor for their soul. Think of people like Noah. Come on, Noah, one of the heroes of the faith. How many of you know for about 120 years, Noah and his family looked pretty ridiculous, somebody? Like, I think of some of the things God has asked us to do, some of the times God has asked us to maybe give something away or stretch our faith. And I look back and I'm always encouraged by Noah. I mean, that guy looked crazy. It hadn't rained. And here he was, all of a sudden, a supernatural inspired weatherman with a message from God. He looked ridiculous. Things looked quite difficult, but he became a hero of the faith. Because why? Because he wasn't listening to the voices of culture. He wasn't listening to, even in some instances, his trusted friends, but he listened and held to the voice of God. And so his faith and trust led to obedience, which, as you'll recall in the book of Hebrews, God said is considered righteousness. Abraham and Sarah, Joseph in Egypt, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Esther. How about Esther for a moment? My goodness, the temptation to live life comfortable, to live life complacent, to just care for me, myself, and I, but yet her uncle Mordecai, with a line to God, spoke into her life and said, you were born for such a time as this. Sometimes in the pages of Scripture, we don't read the emotion that you can imagine she was going through and the faith and the courage that she led with. Can I tell you, one of the keys or key aspects of Esther's faith was, listen, she considered the source. Heard the word of God and obeyed. I think of David. I think of Elijah and Elisha. Come on, you think of Daniel with me. My goodness, Daniel's ability and steadfast faith that in the midst of persecution, come on, you know, there's some persecutions you read about in the Bible where you just stand back and be like, that's crazy. Like, that's crazy. You know, that's not easy. That's not a clean tactic. That's just crazy. That's like old school movie type. I mean, hey, how are we going to deal with this guy? I know. Let's kill him by throwing him in a pit of lions. I mean, how many of you know there's a few ways to die? I don't want to die being eaten by lions. That's just ugly. And can I tell you, though, Daniel, calm, as cool as a cucumber. What did he do? He considered the source. Man, God's called for me to live a life of faith. God's called for me to pray. God's called for me to not bow to idols. I'm going to remain steadfast. I'm going to remain sure-footed. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. Guess what? God led him into the pit, but through the pit. Could I inspire you as well? There is a faith that is being tested. You're being tried. Your circumstances may be overwhelmed, but let me come alongside you, right? Let me coach you through and let you know God's going to be found faithful. His word's going to be true. And I want to encourage you, consider the source of your faith. Consider the word of God over your life. Now is a season to write down the promises, to write down the dreams, to write down the list of family members, friends, coworkers that you're asking God to save and to deliver and to touch. Can I encourage you? This is that time. It's not when we're past. It's now to be doing those things and to see God show up. Come on, miracles are found in a culture of expectancy. I want to invite you to expect God to do something great in your midst. Expect for him to show off and to show out in your life. I know we can grow tired. I know we can grow weary. But if we keep fixing our eyes on Jesus, we will find our strength and hope in the Lord. Well, I continue. You know, crises, here's what they do. They reveal the foundation of our faith. Difficulties reveal where our strength lies. To be in need, when we find ourselves in need, can I tell you, our source surfaces. It comes to the top. Every one of us has crisis and different crises in life. Everyone experiences difficulty, and just being honest, all of us, every one of us has needs. One of the distinguishing factors is a heroic faith has cultivated. This is that word that's pivotal, cultivated. It's not stand back and let God alone do it. No, it's partner with God, making a sacrifice, fasting, praying, giving, doing something. And what you're doing is that's your faith in action. Heroic faith has cultivated a trust, a dependency, and a learned hope in God. That even in the midst of trials and tribulations, they know that God is up to something good. So I want to lead us through a couple thoughts, and then I'll wrap us up with a moment of prayer. But in this idea and thinking of that word cultivate, I want to give you some stepping stones. They're very practical. In a lot of ways, they're very simple. But the difficulty is in actually applying them to your daily life. But I want to invite you to consider these steps. I want to invite you to consider taking action by doing these things. Cultivate a heroic faith. And the first is the title of the message, Consider the Source. Who is your source? I want you at some point, whether it's today or tomorrow, but somewhere in the next 24 hours, I want you to pause. Parents, I know quarantine is crazy, but I want you to find a moment to pause and ask yourself, who is my source? Because the Christian answer is God. You know, it's the Sunday school answer, Paul. Who's your source? Jesus. That's easy. I could go to my four-year-old, coach her up on what to say, how to answer, and she'll just say, Dad, it's Jesus. Right now, we're in princesses, so she may say it's Ariel, right? I don't know. She may come up with some answer, but I could coach her in such a way to answer, but it wouldn't be coming from the depths of her heart. The area of your soul that I'm asking you to consider are the depths of your heart. Who is your source? All throughout Scripture, God would share a name, and that name was his nature. In fact, one of my favorite names of God is Jehovah Jireh. Now, I can read Scripture. I can you know, just think about it and be like, yeah, of course, God, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Yeah, fantastic. But can I tell you, there's a difference between knowing it and it being infused in your heart, that in the midst of struggle, in the midst of trial, in the midst of temptation, God is your provider. God came to Abraham where he provided a ram in the thicket. Where he provided that ram, Abraham uttered these words, God, my provider. It's amazing. Can I tell you, you may need to hear that story. That may have been all you need out of this message, to be challenged to consider the source over your life. God is faithful. God's word is true. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Jesus, before he shares the Lord's Prayer, he told his listeners, he said, listen, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Can I tell you? God knows what's going on. Your Father knows all about it. For some of you, coronavirus is mild compared to the hell you're living in this moment. And you've wondered, man, does God know I'm walking through hell? Does God know the valley season I'm in? I'm here to let you know he does. I don't have all the answers. But can I invite you, instead of asking why, can you ask who? Who is the source of my soul? Because if you can settle that question first, then why becomes a lot easier to carry in this season. When you know that God is your source, can I tell you there's no place your foot treads that he was planning on abandoning you. No, God is going to carry you. He's going to provide. There's a miracle in this moment. I want to encourage you. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask. But we have to slow down. That's why I encourage you to take 5 minutes. 5 minutes just to breathe, just to pause, just find yourself in a quiet place. Don't even play a worship song. Don't even open your Bible. Can a pastor say that? He just did. But get quiet, get still, search your soul, and at the end of that time, say, God, help me to know you as my source. Your faith will grow because I believe that God's word, right? God's word over our lives, it's greater than Wall Street. It's greater than headline news. It's greater than your well-intentioned, sweet grandmother. And grandpa, I know you looked up to grandpa for decades now. Can I tell you, God's word is greater than grandpa's advice. He's greater than your well-intentioned friends. Some of you, you keep calling your friends and God's like, don't call your friends. Don't call your brother. Don't call your sister. Avoid, deny, right? It's good. Make up a custom message. You know you can do that, iPhone users. Hit custom message. I'm unavailable right now. I'm in a meeting. I'm trying to keep my faith up. I can't talk to you because every time I talk to you, I find my heartbeat and my heart rate starts increasing. I get cold sweats. I'm sorry. I can't talk. Can I tell you? You don't need to be that honest, but you can just subtly begin to zone in on who your source is. Begin to lean in to God's word. It's greater than the voices and the words of the world around us. I grew up, I've got to admit, part of my testimony is I grew up in church. And one of the things when you grew up in church, for me, over the last several decades, I've gotten to enjoy all the different worship music that's been out there. And a song I grew up in high school singing, don't worry, I'm not about to sing it. But there was a song, and in the song it said, whose report will you believe? I almost want to dance right now, but I'm not going to. But the question is, it was one of those songs you sung a question and then boom, you said an answer. But it was, whose report will you believe? And it's based off of Joshua, right? Where Caleb and Joshua and the other 10 spies, they went into the promised land. 10 of them came back, freaked out, panicked, had no clue. But Joshua and Caleb made this statement, whose report will you believe? And they said, man, we will believe the report of the Lord. Can I tell you, when you consider your source, you consider God's word. And if he didn't say it, you certainly don't need to trust it. The last time I checked, Jeremiah 29:11 is a truth over my life. The last time I checked, Psalm 91 is my reality. The last time I dove into scripture and read Psalm 139 all the way through, I was reminded that God is with me, that his spirit leads me, and I can tune in to those frequencies. Can I encourage you? You can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. Consider the source. A couple other thoughts and we'll pray. The second thing I want to invite you to do is to consider the outside voices. Consider the outside voices. In Matthew chapter 6, I should read it now. This is a good point. Our key passages are verses 25 through 33, but I will zone in right now on verse 32 for time's sake. Verse 32, Jesus has just shared, do not worry, do not be anxious. Jesus said, consider, I'm calling it consider the source, but Jesus said, by the way, consider the lilies of the field. Consider how well-dressed they are. Consider the birds of the air, the sparrows. Consider how God has fed them and taken care of them and sheltered them. And Jesus said, man, look to your left, look to your right. Consider, what is he inviting them into? He's inviting them to consider God, not Rome. Rome, for many, was their source. Rome, for many, was their supply. Rome, the Roman Empire, for many, was their judge and jury and source. And Jesus said, no, don't look to Rome. Don't forget whose you are. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and I'm asking you, consider the lilies, consider the sparrows. Can I invite you to consider just how much God loves you? In verse 32, Jesus says, for the pagans run after all these things. What things? Food, drink, supply. They hit the panic button. But can I tell you, for the pagans, Jesus isn't being inconsiderate. He's not being condemning. He's just calling it as it is, black and white. He's making it very simple for them to understand. He said, the pagan source is an idol called mammon. The pagan source is an idol called Baal. The pagan source is any principality and power that would try to rise its position above God. And so he said, man, the pagans are run ragged. They're running after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So what's Jesus' solution? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, Israel, hey, Christ followers, hey, my daughters and my sons, consider idols can be a source. And can I tell you, they're a good band-aid in a time of need. You can choose to serve idols, and it works for a while, but the system breaks down. You'll notice many people's faith has risen to the surface in this season, but you'll also notice many people's fear has risen to the surface. Can I tell you, when the fear rises, remind yourself, oh, let me consider the lilies. Let me consider the sparrows. My heavenly Father says to seek first his kingdom, not the kingdom of idols. The heroic faith, as I've shared earlier, heroic faith, the thread through all of them was they would not bow to idols. They heard the word of God and obeyed, even when it was crazy. You think about Gideon, how the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, and Gideon, with all his insecurities, with all his self-image issues, with all of his little faith, he still chose to listen to the voice of God and obey and trust him. And can I tell you what happened? God brought the victory. God ceased the battles and won the battles and made a straight path for him. Can I tell you, God wants to do and will do the same in your and my life. But he wants to stretch us. He wants to grow us. He wants to strengthen us. Consider your source. Shut out the outside voices. Maybe it's a season of turning off the news. Maybe it's a season of limiting some of the calls that have been coming in, emails that have been coming in. And what are they doing? They're wanting to bait you with panic. They're wanting to bait you with anxiety. But I believe you're going to rise. I believe you're going to be stronger. I believe you're going to remind yourself of the promises, of the prophecies, of the faithfulness of our God. And so my simple question, it's simple, but it's a little heavy, but I want to invite you in that 5-minute moment where you meet with God, I want to invite you, choose this day who you will serve. Choose this moment who you will serve. Jesus in Matthew 6, that's one of the questions. It's not spoken, but you can read it in the background. He's inviting people to choose God, to serve God. He's inviting them. Can I tell you? Let me use a little work analogy. People quit bad bosses. A boss, a manager, people quit those bad bosses, bad jobs all the time because of the source. Who's their oversight? Who's leading them? Who's nudging them? Who's speaking words? But can I tell you, people remain steadfast with a good boss. Now, God is more than just a boss, but can I tell you, He's the one to lead. He's the one to shepherd our soul. I want to invite you to choose who you will serve today. Joshua 24:15. He encouraged the people of Israel and he said, look, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the invitation to each of us. Listen, you may have never heard a pastor say this, but I want to boldly declare, you've got some options. You have options. You could serve Wall Street. You can serve your bank account. You can serve your job. All of those can be replacement providers. Or in your heart of hearts, you can recognize, man, even though, yes, I work, yes, I serve, yes, I'm going to be faithful to budget and steward well, at the end of the day, I recognize my heart seeks first the kingdom of God. I trust Him, and in His name is my deliverance. Can I invite you right now where you are to make that choice? And then in the next coming hours, maybe in the next 24 hours, you pause, you reflect, you consider the source of your soul. And let me be the first to tell you, God is a good source. He's the best source. You can lay aside all anxiety, all fear, as you choose to serve and live for God. Psalm 23 becomes your portion. One of my favorite passages in verse 3 is it declares how the Lord is my shepherd, and then he goes on to say, He restores my soul. Can I tell you, there's a peace to your anxiety. God wants to restore your soul. Let me pray for you.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.